Okay, I would like to call this April 18th, 2017 meeting of the Springfield Planning Commission to order. We'll begin tonight with, if you'll join me and rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Do we have any adjustments to the agenda tonight? Hearing none from staff. This is our opportunity for business from the audience. We have cards. If you wish to speak to the audience, you're welcome to do so. I just need to let you know that we did close the public, or we will be entering into a deliberation relating a quasi-judicial public hearing, which occurred at our last meeting. The public record was closed, and the hearing was closed at that time. You're certainly welcome to address the Planning Commission. However, it will not, testimony tonight will not be entered into the public record, and maybe you can talk briefly about that, Christina.
So the public record before the Planning Commission on this matter has been closed. Any testimony tonight and general comments from the audience is not part of the proceeding on application type 417-00002 and type 317-0004. Therefore, it's not forwarded to the City Council for their consideration in making their decision. However, the City Council will hold a public hearing on May 15th, and anyone who wishes to make comments to address the City Council at that time, the public hearing is open to anyone, regardless of whether they participated and made comments to the Planning Commission or not. Those comments will be in the record to the City Council, because they will be made in front of the City Council, obviously. Any comments made tonight regarding the two applications that are up for consideration by law cannot be considered by the Planning Commission, because the record and hearing were closed 2 weeks ago, and by law they would not be forwarded to the City Council for their consideration. So the City Council would essentially have no information unless they chose to go back and listen to maybe the public hearing comments on their own accord, which I think they're probably unlikely to do. They won't, and it would not be also part of the record on appeal to LUPA.
Okay. So I have not received any requests, so we will move forward. This evening we will be discussing quasi-judicial public hearing that was held at a previous Planning Commission meeting. And tonight is the Planning Commission's opportunity to deliberate. We received late information that was entered into the public record, and it was the Planning Commission's determination at our last meeting that we postpone the deliberation until we had an opportunity to review the information that was submitted late into the public record. Okay? So tonight is our opportunity to continue the April 4th, 2017 discussion. And this is a request for a Metro Plan Diagram Amendment and Zone Change for 3.35 acre property on 5th Street. This is cases TYP 417-00002 and TYP 317-00004. Okay? So this is our opportunity to discuss and deliberate. Do you need Andy to do a quick intro, staff to do a quick intro before we begin our deliberation, or do you wish to just begin?
I'd be curious to know if staff has any response to the material that arrived late, whether there's anything in that material that would necessitate a response from staff.
Before we get too far into this, I do want to remind you that if you have had any ex parte contacts in the intervening period between the last meeting and this meeting, to disclose those. You cannot consider them as comments made on the record, but you should disclose them in any event. If you have new conflicts of interest, that you did not have 2 weeks ago. Those should be announced, and any bias should be announced.
Okay. We did receive an email, I believe, late from an individual to the Planning Commission post the hearing. Is that correct, Greg?
Yes, it is.
And so that email cannot be considered because the record was closed. Will not be, and that came to all of the planning commissioners. And so we cannot regard that information in making our determination. So has anyone had any ex parte contact other than that late email that we received?
No.
None?
No.
Any conflicts of interest?
No.
None. Okay. All right. So, Andy, if you could step forward. The request has been responses to any of the late communications from staff.
Did you want me to present any of the visuals that were presented in the last day, the maps?
You may not have any reaction to this late correspondence at all, so I'm just curious as to whether there was any response that generated from this material that we weren't able to analyze at our last hearing.
It would not have changed staff's response and recommendations that are before you. It will be acknowledged in the next round of public hearings to the City Council. And I guess I would point out that all materials that were submitted prior to and up to the actual hearing itself before it was closed, all those materials, including written submittals from neighbors, residents, will be forwarded to the City Council. So just want folks to be assured that their letters and comments that were provided previously will be part of the record and forwarded to the City Council. Okay. The letter that was submitted late, staff did review it, took some of the information under consideration. It will factor into the next round of public hearing notification to clarify the location and the extent and the nature of the proposal. However, staff's recommendations will carry forward to the City Council. Those are the ones that are before you this evening.
Thank you.
Okay. Commissioner Sherwood, do you have a question?
Staff answered my concerns.
Okay. Okay. Any other? Could we get the graphic
sure.
up of the property?
I think that would be helpful. Turn the computer.
And specifically, I'm talking about the one that shows the property, the proposed LDR and MDR breakout.
I apologize. The cast of the colors are
funny color, but it's the right
are
thing.
Strange. But yeah. I'm not sure if it's an error with TV.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you still make it out? Okay.
Okay.
Sorry.
So, to begin the discussion, commissioners. You know, we had information presented to us last week. We have findings developed by staff and staff's interpretation based on the requests that are before us. We have had public input. We have certainly concerned citizenry about this piece of property. being developed. This is has currently, and correct me if I'm wrong, Andy, okay, this currently has, does it have three, five homes on it? It's currently zoned LDR. There is some vacant land as well in the area to the north where there is proposed rezoning to MDR. So several of the concerns, I think, that were voiced in the information that was provided, not only through public testimony, but also from written information, were the concerns about setback. One of those, you know, several of the things that came from folks that live in the adjacent LDR to the north and east of that property were concerns about the land being developed and having development back up to their lots. And one of the things that came out of the information that's been provided to us from the staff is, and correct me if I'm wrong again, I'm asking the staff, setback for the current LDR that's there, if it was developed as low density residential, current setback requirement for LDR there would be 10 feet.
Correct.
If, and I'm speaking specifically about the property to the north, that's adjacent to the existing LDR and to the east, which is designated to, or the request is to have that rezoned as MDR. Should that rezoning take place, the setback actually would move from 10 feet to 25 feet. And also there would be a height requirement that for each additional foot over, if someone developed a two-story property or higher property, over 25 feet of height, if it was higher than 25 feet, each foot of height would require an additional foot of setback.
That's correct.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So, and correct me if I'm wrong, the LDR designation that it's currently designated as does not predicate developing on a single story. I mean, they could develop LDR in a two-story or a multi-story mode. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll stand up.
Absolutely. So, thanks for asking.
That is correct. The building height limit in LDR would be 30 feet.
30 feet.
And that doesn't specify the number of stories, just the building height as measured typically to the midpoint of the roof line. So the peak of a roof could be slightly higher than that.
Okay.
And it would be a building permit procedure. Someone could come in for building permits and there would be no review opportunities for the neighborhood other than when they start construction, essentially.
So no, because it's already designated LDR, if someone were to develop, it would be a building permit process and negate the requirement for site plan review.
That's correct.
And a secondary opportunity, actually a third opportunity for public input.
That's correct.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Does that make sense? Okay. Does that make sense?
And the MDR,
folks?
Then, the MDR, if you go over one story, 50 feet, something that requires the additional setback?
For medium density and high density residential, the minimum setback is 25 feet from low density residential. Mm-hmm. So that would be essentially a 25-foot buffer of development on the borders of those properties, should it proceed. And then the setback would be, as the chair pointed out, the setback would be increased based on the building height up to a point of 50 feet. So if there were 50-foot high building were proposed, it'd be 50 feet back of the property line.
Okay. So the other thing I'd like for you to talk to for just a moment also is the buffering or screening requirement related to MDR should this property be rezoned as MDR. There are some specific screening requirements that are involved when an MDR zoned property is developed adjacent to LDR. Is that correct?
That's correct. Typically, the screening requirements for multifamily developments can be either structural, which could be screening fencing, earthen, like a berm, or vegetative. In this case, there's a perimeter fences for backyards of the abutting properties. Typically, what is done in the buffer area, the 25-foot setback, and other projects that have occurred throughout the city, there would be landscaping. There's requirements for landscaping, which includes trees and shrubs. So there would be screening vegetation installed around the perimeter for the benefit of both residents of the multifamily site should it proceed, as well as the abutting property owners in the LDR. So it essentially creates a vegetative buffer between the two sites, if they choose vegetative, and that's typically the most often utilized because it serves two purposes. There are minimal landscaping requirements as well, so providing the screening and landscaping in the same area would satisfy both requirements, essentially.
Okay. Questions from commissioners related to either buffering or setback? No? Okay. One of the things that, as I was reviewing the information as it was presented, that I noticed across 5th Street, where MDR and HDR have developed, seems to be a logical division of those developments. The other thing I did was I went to the metro plan and looked at the city, and I looked at development of MDR adjacent to LDR, and my finding really was it's very, very common to have, especially when you have commercial property, which in this case we do with the Fred Meyer store there, that often there is HDR and MDR adjacent to commercial as a segue or buffer into an LDR development. But one of the things that bothered me a bit about this proposed development is the tax lot 4601, which seems to me HDR, that one right there, seems to me to be close or closer than I would necessarily feel comfortable with to the LDR. And there is no, as you see the MDR and HDR below, there's a common line that is a break for those. And it seems more logical to me that the MDR buffer between HDR and the MDR and then the subsequent LDR, it would make more sense to me if that tax lot 4601 were actually MDR rather than HDR. I just throw that out. Questions?
What are the actual dimensions? I mean, we see this picture, but sometimes don't visualize it.
The tax lot 4601 is what we're...
There's some assessment map. We should have some dimension on there, probably. If we could bring that up.
bear with me. I'll bring up the tax map that has the dimensional information. I apologize for the cast of the screens. It doesn't show up on the computer screen here. It's got a real green issue, but it should still provide the details. So just give me a second here.
Okay. You know, my other thinking on that is, with a 25-foot setback in the MDR property, having that setback, that's the piece that I was pointing to.
Tax lot 4601 is about 52 feet deep by 150 feet east-west dimension.
52 feet deep.
So,
and how deep is 4600 there across the...
About 431 feet east-west dimension.
And north-south on the narrow end that abuts Fifth Street?
Sorry, the Fifth Street side, or not the east side, the west side?
On the west side.
63.
Correct. So it's 115 between the two, so 63.
So 63 with a 25-foot setback there. You know, it just logically, to me, seems like the MDR should include 4601. That would be consistent with the development across Fifth Street as well. So, other thoughts?
I agree with that, the 4601 being the MDR. Because when I was looking at it before too, I was wondering why it jetted out versus stayed flush with, like you said, the abutting lots on the cross street.
And understand the HDR to the south abuts the Fred Meyer parking lot on the south, mm-hmm. Right? So the setback, I mean, the development that would go in there is certainly going to be back. Substantially from, and would the same thing apply to the HDR as far as setback from LDR on the east?
It would for the MDR. There is no proposed HDR abutting LDR. Mm-hmm. Tax lot 5000 is proposed to be MDR. So it's sort of
that's
L-shaped.
Right. There's an L-shape there. That's right. Right. That's right.
But the 25-foot setback would apply along the northern and eastern boundaries of this site.
Gotcha.
Could you not achieve a similar effect just by having additional tack buffer in the 4600 northwest area? Reserve more of that as buffer. And
I'm sorry, we can't hear you at all.
Yeah,
sorry,
I can't read. I can't read your map. If it's intended for only for your use. You've done a fine job.
I apologize for that. If you kind of look in that, we've been talking about this 4601, which is this little square. You kind of see this, what looks like a path between their larger. So you can kind of see that path in there. And just above there on the northwest side, you see 4601. And that's the one that they're kind of talking about right now. That's an an HDR.
Proposed HDR.
And so proposed HDR, one of the, possibilities to consider would be, okay, let that go HDR, but then have a larger buffer area in that northwest area of 4600 so that you're not feeling like you're getting
crowded, you know, perhaps you achieve whatever it is the developer is wanting to do. I have to assume that they put that as HDR for a reason. So if you can build in some protection for the property owners north of there, perhaps you achieve the same thing.
Okay, yes?
Is that pathway, could you describe the pathway that's in the middle of
easement?
That is a public right-of-way.
Right-of-way?
Yeah, there's a 20-foot wide public right-of-way that stubs into the property. Essentially, it's sort of a shared driveway in its actual constructed state. In all likelihood, it would be replaced by a public easement and incorporated into a future site development.
So the requirement for height and setback between MDR and properties in LDR, does that include the path, the public right-of-way?
The zoning would apply to the public right-of-way. Essentially, it would take on whatever the adjoining zoning was. If it forms the boundary between two zoning districts, it would probably end up being incorporated into the southerly of the two, because it falls south of that kind of east-west boundary that you're referring to. There would not be the same setback requirement between MDR and HDR as there is between MDR and LDR. So it would not form a buffer or increase a buffer between internal to the development area.
Thank you.
Okay. I can see you're deep in thought.
I just want to point out something that was mentioned by Mr. Sautre on April the 4th is that currently, at least as of April the 4th, there is not a site plan for this property. And I think that once one is presented, if and when, there's any number of possible configurations that could be presented on a site plan. For example, if structures were shown on the southern portion of this subject property, and the northern portion would be given to accessway or parking, that have a considerable impact on what impact it has on surrounding property. So I think that's one of the key issues, that rather than looking specifically at buffering and screening, that the question would be what might be presented on a site plan when it comes into being. So that probably is more of an issue with how it's going to impact the neighborhood than what particular lot has what particular designation.
Okay. Commissioner Dunn?
To sort of piggyback on your comment, just something that I noticed in here that stood out to me was the surplus of low density residential and the surplus of medium density residential and the deficit of high density residential that Springfield currently has, which I understand is being addressed via Glenwood, but I drive through Glenwood every day. It's going to be a little while before that's, I think, a realism. So it's just something that stood out to me in this packet.
Yeah, the Glenwood high density development is very specific to Glenwood. We have no other refinement plan in the metro, in the Springfield area, that is subject to the density levels involved as they are in Glenwood. Is that a correct statement?
That's correct, yes.
This high density residential that we're discussing here is in terms of what would the maximum density be for the high density residential here?
Let me see.
It's 42
per acre.
Yeah. 20 to 42, I think.
And in Glenwood, it's like, isn't it 100?
There's actually, minimum is 50, there's no ceiling.
And no ceiling.
It's fit under the height limit.
So it's a height limit.
Just for your information, in your discussion about that 4601, based on a calculation that it's 7,800 square feet anyway, under the maximum MDR, you could have 5 dwelling units on it, and under the maximum HDR, you could have 7.5
Microphone, please.
The that parcel that the Planning Commission has been discussing, 4601, is approximately 7,800 square feet. So under MDR zoning, it would allow 5 dwelling units, and under HDR zoning, it would allow 7.5 dwelling units. And under low density, it would just allow 1.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Other questions that we have?
As I recall, in the packet, there was a discussion of where the figures were arrived for the deficit versus surplus of HDR versus SDR land in Springfield. And I think another point that's being missed when we're discussing the surplus versus deficit is if you look regionally within the area, it just at least appears to me as a member of the public that HDR is being currently being overbuilt. I sure see an awful lot of large apartment complexes going in, not maybe not in Springfield, but very close, Gateway area, Game Farm, etc. So I have a feeling that the, could you address whether the staff does agree with the deficit versus surplus figures?
There haven't been many HDR projects in the city in recent history. If you're referring to the project that's up at the corner of Game Farm and MLK Parkway, right adjacent to the Peace Health Hospital, that's a memory care facility. So it does, although it does appear to be a dense apartment, it's actually a congregate care facility. And that is zoned medium density residential. So the only project that I can think of, and this wasn't the project I was involved with, is on the west side of Fifth Street, apartment buildings, just to the southwest of this site. However, there aren't really any other recent projects in Springfield, at least. There are numerous projects, especially student housing, in Eugene. So that has resulted in a number of high-rise apartments close to campus and around the downtown area, not so much in Springfield.
Okay. Legal counsel?
I note for the benefit of the commission that the Oregon legislature specifically adopted statutes requiring the city of Springfield to conduct its own housing inventory and use its own inventories, and to the extent that housing may or may not have deficits regionally, including anything that's built in Eugene, that could not be any basis for a decision here in Springfield per that legislation that the state adopted in 2007.
Thank you.
The other the other topic that was raised in the communications that we received, public communications, one specifically was about the Q Street Refinement Plan, which was a 1987 refinement plan, and the concern was the refinement plan was really written in a way that this this type of development was not in alignment with the goals and objectives of that refinement plan. Reviewing staff's findings and I have reviewed the Q Street Refinement Plan. One of the things that we know is that when we have vacant land, and this land has been, I mean, it has five current houses on it, but there is vacant property there as well. There is often opportunity for redevelopment within the confines of the city, and I know the city council is very interested in looking at opportunities for redevelopment. There's a real housing shortage in the city of Springfield as well. And in my thinking, this type of infill is really it's advantageous to take advantage of best use and reuse of these properties, within the urban environment. All we are discussing tonight is not what will be placed there, but how it is zoned and how it might support future development, right? And I think that I found nothing in the Cushier filing plan that I feel would hinder today's planning commission, 2017 planning commission, from making a decision in support of redesignation of these properties from low density residential to medium and high density residential. That's my personal finding. Others?
I agree.
I agree because, as it's been stated, I think the sequence of zoning going from Q Street northward is a logical progression from the CC to the HD to the MD to the LD. So I think that is a reasonable sequence of zoning moving from the commercial area to a residential area. So.
Okay. Commissioner Quetla?
I had some concerns about the, I'd call it the banding of the zoning, in that it seemed to me to be a real logical way to do future developments, so that if nothing was developed at all yet, that you'd create the commercial, the high density, the medium density, and then that way there would be like no burden of buffering on any particular properties. And instead, I think what this kind of does is it sort of shoehorns the buffering into an existing property. And at the last meeting, I asked Jim Donovan about whether that was permissible and desirable, and he answered in the affirmative that yes, it was not only permissible in the zoning, it was a desirable outcome in the same way that Commissioner James said. The other thing that I don't think we've addressed here at all was, and it was very well presented by the applicant, what were the traffic issues on Fifth Street. And I know there was a lot of concern from the citizens, and I really wanted to say that your input has been very valuable, and I'm very glad that you came, and I know that your homes are very important to you, your biggest investments in life, and I really appreciate your input. The traffic situation on Fifth Street, if I'm reading the traffic maps correctly, the traffic study, there's a vehicle north and south across the face of these properties approximately every 6 seconds. Now, I myself don't feel as if that's a real long time to be able to adequately look north, look south, and decide that you're going to jump across. It's also a real close proximity to the Fred Meyer driveway, which also exits onto Fifth Street, making basically opportunity for T-bone accidents. And well, those are the worst kind of accidents. They're the ones that have injuries and deaths. And I don't know whether there's been any yet, but you know, just the addition of a few extra cars, I can say, yeah, it probably wouldn't happen. But one of the things I'd want to say about the entire project is when the site plan review comes along, two things I would hope would be addressed. One would be significant buffering for the existing residences to the north and to the east. I noticed, for instance, in areas where there's community commercial next to single family, for instance, Walmart, Jerry's, Albertsons on 14, or Albertsons on Marcola, I believe, is commercial against single family. That's actually a pretty successful interface. Jerry's has a big concrete block wall behind there, the buffer to the single family. So I'd like to see whatever buffering could possibly be done on the site plan to try to minimize the. And then the other thing regarding the traffic is whatever is done for access in and out of the project, it'd be best to have it separated from Fred Meyer's driveway, possibly as far north as possible. And whatever could be done to maintain great site distance, including removal of street trees or whatever, to prevent accidents. But other than that, I can't see no reason to. Other than I do agree with Commissioner James on 4601, to my mind, does lend itself to being medium density versus the high density.
Okay. Thank you. Others?
I have a question for staff. So we have our housing inventories for the three different designations of zoning for all of Springfield. Are we taking into account neighborhood areas into that? One of the documents submitted by the public concerned specifically this neighborhood, this Q Street area's housing inventory, and how that differs from the overall Springfield deficits. So the Springfield deficits, we have a deficit in high density, and then a deficit in medium density, and then a huge surplus in low density. But that's correct, right? Both those are
correct. I think that it's more or less a wash with the HDR. Because of Glenwood, a slight surplus of MDR and a fairly significant surplus of LDR.
Okay.
I'll bring up one of the graphics here. Unfortunately, with the colors, it may not work very good, but let's see what we got here.
Anyway, to finish my question while you're bringing that up, I wanted to know if there are any specific concerns of staff for the planning of neighborhoods being overwhelmed in one type of zoning versus another, as opposed to Springfield as a whole?
No, I think it's based on the existing zoning, and so it's more comprehensive in its look. The site and the arrow that you see before you, this is from the city's residential land analysis, and the tax lot number 4600, which is the long east-west vacant parcel, is actually identified as vacant and redevelopment potential. So it has, this site has been identified in its redevelopment potential as part of the city's comprehensive inventory of available residential development lands. So because of its zoning at the time that this study was prepared, it's attributed to the LDR surplus. But it is identified as a vacant redevelopable site, at least a portion of it. The ones that have the current houses on them were not identified. However, because the developer has assembled all the properties into a block, so to speak, the entire site now is eligible for redevelopment.
So just to make sure I'm understanding you right, it was encouraged by the analysis that we use this specific area to address our concerns of deficits in zoning.
Correct. This was identified as one potential redevelopment area that would address housing shortage. It was, deemed, I guess, part of the LDR surplus, but what it was identified as an area where the city could address and do infill development, as was brought up for the by one of the commissioners.
So essentially the city's been asking for this in this area in a way, or making it look very available to these sorts of rezoning, and the applicant is simply fulfilling something we were already hoping for?
The applicant is proposing some type of redevelopment. The zoning is not necessarily something that the city had anticipated, but the refinement plan and the city's housing needs analysis allow for changes in the zoning within the residential spectrum, and still would address the city's overall goals for housing.
Okay,
I hope that addresses your question.
It does.
Okay. Other questions from staff? Other comments at this time? Yes.
I'll make one comment. It's somewhat of a side note, but in regard to all of the citizens of this area that have concerns about what this project might represent, is that generally in cases where there's significant development that's about to occur, the development or property owner or their representatives make an effort to set up meetings with the neighborhood so as to address their concerns and acknowledge the problems that they have presented, and in essence, create a dialogue with those residents. So hopefully that's something that will occur as time goes along, and at such time that there's a site plan and its formative stages, that the discussion can take place with the citizens in a meeting of their own.
Excellent point. And again, just reiterating that it is our process as the Planning Commission to forward a recommendation to City Council, and there will be a subsequent public hearing, and then there will also be subsequent site plan review and opportunity for public input moving forward. Any other dialogue? So at this time, I will make a motion. I will move to forward a recommendation to the City Council to approve TYP 417-00002 Rick Satry's application on behalf of Roy Gray for a Type 1 amendment to the Eugene Springfield Metropolitan Area General Plan diagram to redesignate three parcels. Identified as assessor's map on assessor's map 1703-2624, tax lots 4600, 4601, and 5000 from low density residential to medium density residential, and designate three parcels, approximately just over an acre, identified as assessor's map 1703-2634, tax lots 4700, 4800, and 4900, from low density residential to high density residential. That would, for clarification, that would include tax lot 4601 in the medium density residential. As opposed to low density residential.
High density residential.
High density residential. Thank you.
Just to clarify.
Yes.
I have a question for you. Is there any opportunity for the applicant to respond to why they chose to do 4601 as high density residential before we make this decision?
No, not okay. Before we make the decision. However, they okay. will have an opportunity to address the City Council in public session. This is our recommendation
right.
forwarded to City Council.
Thank you.
Okay. So there's a motion on the floor. Do I hear a second to the
second.
Motion? I hear a second from Commissioner Sherwood. Any discussion?
I like it.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Would you like to make the second motion related to the zoning map amendment?
Move to forward a recommendation to the City Council to approve TYP 317-00004, Rick Satre's application on behalf of Roy Gray to rezone three parcels of approximately, I don't know how many acres, identified as assessor's map 17-03-26-24, tax lots 4600, 4601, and 5000 from low density residential to medium density residential, and rezone three parcels, approximate acreage, identified as assessor's map 17-03-26-34, tax lots 4700, 4800, and 4900 from low density residential to high density residential.
Second.
Okay. So it's been moved by Commissioner Cuevilla, seconded by Commissioner Vos, and I'm not going to restate the motion. This is a zoning map amendment that we forward a recommendation to the City Council. Any questions? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Okay. On to other business. Report of council action. I did attend the city council meeting on Monday, April 10th. There were three items. Springfield Museum Board met with the city council, talked about their hiring of a new executive director, and some of the questions around the best approach to do that, and the hours needed to support the museum, and also discussion related to whether the city, whether the museum should fall back under the city's governance and be supported by tax law. Gino Grimaldi is pulling some additional information together, and we'll be providing that to the city council in the near future. The other thing that was discussed in some detail was the developing of affordable housing and the affordable housing strategy. Sandy Brolson presented a really excellent report to the city council, talking about micro housing and options for providing support for small housing. Everybody's probably watched the small house shows and so forth, and the city is, you know, we're dealing with a real housing shortage, and so the council is considering some options. One of the things that was discussed were some ways to incentivize this type of development, and one of the things that they talk about was an SDC waiver, and of course they, you know, the city are not the only municipality in the area that have or garner SDCs. So the discussion came up about Willamette Lane and how we might be able to, how the city and Willamette Lane might be able to cooperatively work toward that. And it was a very, very, very interesting discussion. I'm sure there will be more, and you'll hear more about that in the near future. The third topic of discussion were the downtown design standards. And so a presentation was done related to the commercial mixed-use buildings and kind of getting the council on board with direction for downtown mixed-use development, and so it was good discussion, good interaction with the city council. So that was an update on the April 10th. Any others?
I should have mentioned last meeting that I attended the 3/20/17 city council work session and regular session, and the work session, there were three items really in both meetings. The first was the new wellness center for city employees, which is just a really, really nice facility, and looks like a really good thing for the city to be expanding. There was, in the city council session, Indigenous Peoples Day was proclaimed for the second Monday in October, what is normally Columbus Day. And then there was also the jail, medical and mental health and dental health contract was investigated by the council. And the city manager is going to negotiate a contract with Cascade Health, who has been operating that and is also operating the Wellness Center here in City Hall.
Okay.
So I attended the city council meeting last night, quick one. They went took a vote on the capital improvement program that we went over and forwarded them, and they approved it with unanimous vote with two members absent. And that was pretty much it.
Okay. Any other reports? Any business from development and public works?
None that I can think of.
Okay.
You can say something?
Yes.
Okay. Something to look forward to and to put on your calendar. On June 6th, there will be a joint Lane County Springfield Planning Commission meeting for a proposed metro plan amendment zone change for the Thurston Hills Natural Area Park. The recommendation from the planning commissions will be forwarded to first the Board of County Commissioners for an August 1st reading, and then a joint elected officials hearing in September. First reading for City Council, second reading for the Board of County Commissioners for their consideration and hopefully action.
Excellent. So. Just to state, I do serve as the president of the Lime Lane board at this time. However, it should not be a conflict of interest because there would be no personal benefit for me to act as the presiding person for the Planning Commission during that hearing. So, yes.
This is the park. This is the park down by 69th and up on the hill.
Correct.
That's correct. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I will be affected by that.
I guess I should also point out, and not to steal any thunder from Commissioner Sherwood, but last night the annexation of the trailhead area was adopted by City Council. So the annexation ordinance has been adopted. So the area that has the gray house, historic house, which will serve as the trailhead parking lot and sort of focal point for access to that trailhead, was annexed. So we'll be sending all the paperwork to the state for their final confirmation, but it's kind of a formality at this point.
Excellent. But the development cannot occur, is that correct, until the City Council and the County Commissioners?
Actually, the trailhead development was approved pre-annexation. Annexation was one of the, and I'm trying to remember because I've inherited this project from a former colleague now. And the approval for the site plan was granted pre-annexation. The annexation was one of the components of a MOU with Lima Lane, which they've now satisfied. The trail building and sort of the layout of their trails is set to occur starting in the next couple months. Anticipated to get at least some initial construction done this summer.
So just to clarify, yes. The MOU said that that Lima Lane can build the trailhead portion per site plan review prior to plan amendment zone change, but that the more extensive trail network into the property that was not annexed would be done pursuant to a plan amendment zone change.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. So they're looking at essentially the layout, like the conceptual layout, sure. And then the areas where they'd be accessing the trailhead component that's been annexed and their parking lot and stuff.
Right? Well, I know lots of folks in Springfield are very excited about having access to being able to get out into the natural environment in that area.
Is this talking down by 42nd and Jasper?
Well, actually not. The trailhead they're discussing is out past the graveyard by the gray, the old gray house off of Main Street.
I sent Amy an email, but I just wanted to try it again.
And the trailhead will occur actually behind the gray property. And the gray property will be maintained, and because that's a historic.
I want to see the differences that you put it in, and then you.
They're removing mountain bike trails up there. Is that the same?
Well,
as the one
Emily is working with the is it the demons of dirt or
disciples of dirt?
Disciples of dirt or
close.
You know,
wrong side of the line.
So that works fine, doesn't it?
And others to work cooperatively on developing some you know, some trails for that. But there will also be trails developed for hikers.
That is really weird.
And hopefully there'll be, it's going to be master planned. So it's certainly there will be some separation there.
I just having put it in again and try it again and
it's not plugged in quite all the way.
Well, it was plugged in
natural areas as well. That property, the ridgeline abuts BLM property that runs out
there. Okay. I'll tell him not to.
Cedar
Flats.
Flats.
It was just how it was going to be tonight.
Not much.
Let's not go into too much discussion about specifics that might be related to a quasi-judicial application.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, you are.
Okay. I don't want you to have to declare ex parte contacts with your own board members.
So.
All right. We stand adjourned.
Did you talk to my wife?
I forgot. Where is my due date?